Okay. Yeah. All right. Take your Bibles, please. Turn over to the book of 1 John. It is great to be here. And, of course, this is always a wonderful place to be. And this is like our home away from home. And for all the years that we get to come down here, and I get to teach and preach in the college, in the chapels, and, of course, to know Pastor Esposito and Pastor Myers. And we went way back to Bible college and a lot of fun times. And fun times while I was here. And so it's an honor to preach to you on this Resurrection Sunday. And so if you would please, would you stand? And let's look at 1 John chapter number 3. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16. And hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. This evening, I want to just really take the time to remind you of a very, very important truth about our God. In fact, the statement is there in verse number 20, and that is the title of the message. Three words: God is greater. God is greater. Father, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would bear witness in my heart as I preach this message and in the hearts of those who stand and soon will sit before me. And Lord, these are days that we need to remember, God, you're greater than everything that's going on in this world. And I thank you that I serve a risen Savior. I thank you that I serve a God that is alive and powerful and almighty and all-knowing. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us and encourage our hearts with the wonderful, wonderful truth that, God, you are greater. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. You may be seated. You know, I noticed when I was growing up, I was always small and skinny, and we used to have a magazine we looked at. It was called Life. I believe that's what it was called. It was a kid's magazine, and they always had an ad on there, and they had this little skinny guy, and then, you know, he had a girlfriend, and some big muscular guy comes over and kicks sand in his face and takes the girl from him. And I used to look at it, and I think, boy, I wish I had muscles. I wish I was big. And I just never could get big. I never was that way. But I learned something, that people that were bigger, or those that were bigger, seemed like they had an advantage. And I want you to look at Job 33, and I want you to see a statement that was made there by one of Job's so-called friends. Of course, you all know the story of Job. One of the friends that came to him was a man named Elihu, who came to, the Bible says he came to comfort him. And of course, Job would eventually say, miserable comforters are ye. Because they didn't come to comfort him. They actually came to correct him. They tried to tell him that, you know, you got it all wrong, Job, and we're going to tell you what the problem is here. And one of the statements, though, Elihu made, though a lot of what he said was not true, there was some things that he said that were true. And one of those is in Job 33. Look at verse number 12. And it says, behold, in this thou art not just. And he's talking about the things that Job said. But then listen to the statement. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. That God is greater than man. My dad was a musician. He had his own band. He played the accordion. Actually, it was called the Cordovox because it was electronic and it was plugged into big old speakers. My dad's brother played the guitar. And they called it the Grandy Brothers Band. And they played all the old, what they called the standards, you know, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, all those old guys. And then also a lot of ethnic songs, mostly Italian and Polish music, polka music. And I remember as a boy sitting on the bed of my dad, and he, of course, had to practice periodically. And I remember sitting on the bed while he took out the accordion and was playing on the bed. And I know so many of those songs. They're embedded in my mind, and heard them so many times through the years. And I remember there was one song that he played. I remember the words, and the words were this, that anything you can do, I can do better. Those were the words of the song. Anything you can do, I can do better. And that's really exactly what Elihu was saying and what the book of Job is implying. It's implying that whatever man can do, God can do better. And the reason being is because God is greater than man. Men like to boast. We're braggadocious type. That's our nature to do so. Back in Missouri, and we have, you know, a lot of hunting. And I like to hunt, love to hunt. And in fact, shot an 8-point buck this winter. And my lot of friends out there, you go into their house and they got these mounts up there, big old deer with big old antlers up there, and they put them up there. You know why they put them up there, don't you? Because they want to brag. You know, they want to say how, yeah, I got that one. Yeah, I shot that. And they love to brag because man is like that. We love to boast. We love to brag. We boast of our strength. We boast of our ability. We boast of our intellect. We boast of our prosperity. We boast about our problem. But the problem with that is that God condemns all sort of boasting in ourselves. God does not want us to brag because it is a form of pride and arrogance when we brag. I didn't go to the gym a whole lot, and but I just naturally have this body that you see here tonight. But I remember a few times I did go to a gym, and I always laugh because you go to gyms, they have mirrors all around. And you have these guys that are just standing there like this, you know. And I always wondered, why does somebody stand there and look at themselves? But they would. They would stand there looking themselves, and they were just kind of glorying in who they are. That's the way guys are. But the Bible, again, it's against that. The Bible says in Psalms 49 and verse 6, it says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. And there are people, and around here, boy, you see cars, beautiful cars everywhere, and people have lots of money. And but the last part of that verse says this, will leave their wealth to others. Amen? So if you're bragging about how much money you have, guess what? You are not leaving this earth with it. As they say, you never see a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. Because you ought to do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. Amen? And so, but that's pride, that's arrogance. The signs of the last times and the attributes of the end times says men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud. Why? We love bragging rights. We just love to brag. That is why salvation is not about works. That's why you can't get saved by your works. Because if you got saved by your works, and you would get to heaven, or all of us would get to heaven, and we'd brag and say, yeah, I did this and I did that. And you know what? God doesn't want us to get to heaven and brag on us. God wants us to get to heaven and brag on God. Brag on what Jesus did. That's why Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 9 says, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. Oh, no, we're not going to go to heaven to boast. Salvation is a gift because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because of the death, because of the burial, and because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we gloried in that today, didn't we? And that's what we should do. Salvation is by grace through faith. It is a salvation that says God is greater than man. Amen. God is greater than man. In fact, the Bible says God's grace is greater than man's sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen? You can never sin too much where grace cannot come down and forgive you and save you. And even as a Christian, if you're in sin today and you're away from God, guess what? There is amazing grace to take you back to where you used to be and cover that sin and use your life again. Oh, God is greater than man. God's grace is greater than our sin. Anything man can do greater. God can do great. And then take it to the next step. God can do greater than anything man thinks and anything man can ask for. Oh, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, God is greater than man. God is greater than man. And then look at, if you would, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 9. Look at 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to have you use your Bible out quite a bit tonight because I want you to remember some things. You're going to need these things. I don't know where everything is going in this world, but I know this. We better get it down in our heart and our mind. God is greater. Better get it down there. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 9. It says, if we receive the witness of man, notice, the witness of God is what? What is that? Greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his sin. Now, the word witness there could be used, that man's words. Isn't it amazing how men will believe the words of the witness of man, but they will not believe the witness of God? And by the way, men are untrustworthy. Men lie. We live in a day where our leaders are liars. They tell us what we want to hear, but they don't tell us what they truly are going to do. But the witness of God is greater, the Bible said. In fact, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a what? A liar. Let every man a liar. God is greater than man. Men think they're smart, think they're smarter than God, but they think they know better than God, but the witness of man, or rather the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. The witness of man tells us how we ought to live our lives. Yet you know what? I've seen the way man thinks we ought to live our lives, and it doesn't lead to anything good. The witness of man tells us how we ought to have our marriages, but you know what? I've seen what that does, and that doesn't lead to anything good. The witness of God is greater. The witness of man tries to tell us how we ought to raise our children, but the witness of God is greater. So man, God is greater than man. The witness of God is greater than the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 20. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. This is such a phenomenal verse. All of us have times when our heart condemns us. Now, the word condemn there means to find fault or to accuse. There are times our heart causes us to be discouraged and defeated and disheartened. So John is encouraging here. John is saying, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything about us. He knows everything that's going on. So basically, he is reminding us that we cannot base our life and even our relationship with him purely on how we feel or what our heart is telling us. You know, last time I checked, our heart is deceitful and wicked. And the book of Proverbs tells us, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. So there are going to be times when our heart will condemn us. But God is greater than our heartaches. God is greater than our sorrows. God is greater than our troubles. God is greater than our difficulties. God is greater than our discouragements in our life. In fact, look over to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I love this passage of scripture. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. This is a story of when David and his men, they had gone off to fight a battle. And notice in 1 John chapter 30, in verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Why? For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people would grieve, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. So you got the picture, all the wives, the children, all their belongings, they were all taken away. The men were so upset. I mean, these men loved David, but because of what had happened, they said, you know what, we're going to stone David. And David is greatly distressed. But what did we say? God is greater than our heart. And David's heart was distressed. But notice what David did. It says in verse number 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What do you think David encouraged himself in? I'll tell you what he encouraged himself. He reminded himself that God was greater what had just happened. He reminded himself, he got himself, said, God, you're greater than this. You're bigger than this. You can help us through this. You can help us get back our belongings. You can help us get back our wives. You can help us get back our children. God, you are greater. David came up of that time of encouraging himself in the greatness of God. And you know what happened? Hey, God is greater than your heart, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get sad about things. And sometimes your heart's going to try to take you down. But you remind yourself every time that happens, God is greater than your heart. God is greater than your heart. When the disciples' heart made them fear, when the storm came on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus came to them and stilled the storm and showed them that God is greater than that storm. And then after that, God then stilled their heart, the Bible says, and gave them peace. Because why? Because God is greater than your heart. He gave them peace in the midst of the storm. And may I say, God is greater than the storms in your life today. God is greater than the storms that are going to come into your life someday. God is greater than what is happening in our country right now. God is greater than this economy in our country right now. God is greater than the gas prices. Not much. But he's greater than the gas prices. He is greater than the political situation. He is greater than the spiritual condition of our country. Hey, remember when Peter stepped out on the water and Jesus looked at said, come out to the water. And Peter said, bid me come. And Jesus said, come on out, Peter. And Peter stepped out of that boat and walked down that water. Oh my, he walked out there in confidence. He had in his heart, boy, Jesus said, do this, I can do this, and he had the faith to do it. But as he stepped out and he began to see the waves and he began to see the storm and the rain and the thunder and the lightning, he began to sink. Why? His heart began to condemn him. His heart began to discourage him. His heart told him, what are you doing out here? Are you nuts or something? And so here's Peter out there and he's beginning to sink. But what does he do? He cries out and he says, Jesus, save me. And Jesus reached down and pulled him up out of that water. Why? Because God is greater than man. God is greater than your heart. And Peter learned from that day that he could have a faith in God, that God is greater than his heart. God is greater than our heart tonight. Peter also learned while he was walking on that water to get his eyes off of his circumstances. I'm talking about get your eyes off of your problems. Get your eyes off of your circumstances. Get your eyes off of your heartaches. Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off all and put it on a great God that you have tonight. God is greater. God is greater than man. God, the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. God is greater. God is greater. Oh, when your heart condemns you and you feel like you're sinking, hey, say, God, you're greater than this. And he'll reach down and he'll pull you up again. Oh, I love it what Jesus said. He said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You say, why, preacher? I'll tell you why. God is greater. All things are possible with God. God is greater. When Jesus told his disciples after preaching to the 5,000, he said, have those 5,000 men sit down and we're going to feed them. By the way, not only were there 5,000 men, but they say they probably had 5,000 women and they probably had kids with them also. So you're thinking that quite possibly there must have been about 15,000 people there that day. And so Jesus says, you know what? Sit them down. I've got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. We're going to have a feast today. We're going to have fillet of fish for everybody. Of course, the disciples were not encouraged. Fact is, they were discouraged. And you know what happened? Their heart condemned them. Jesus said, I can feed them all. And they said to Jesus, but what are they? Talking about 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? In other words, Jesus, how are we going to do this? I just don't see how. What happened? Their heart condemned them. Their heart caused them to doubt that Jesus could do it. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus showed them that day that God is greater than the ability of man. Jesus showed them that day that God is greater than the heart. In John 6:11, the Bible says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You know what? He took those 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and he fed every single one of them, and everybody got a doggy bag to go home. Amen. Why? Because God is greater. Amen. God is greater today. God has always been greater. Oh, God took a little and made much. Oh, as that song said, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. That's what the Bible teaches. God is greater. Look at the miracles in the Old Testament. That is why they're in there, you know. 1 Corinthians 10:11, Paul wrote, reminding us about the Old Testament miracles. He said in verse number 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. The word admonition means calling attention to. Now, what do you think the miracles call attention to? Well, they call attention to the greatness of God. They remind them. All those Old Testament miracles and wonders that God did, guess what? God did it, not just for them, but he did it for us. He wants us to go back and look and read and see the amazing things that God did. Why? Because we need to be reminded over and over and over again that God is greater. God is greater, calls us attention. That's why God gives us the record of when the Israelites, the first time, did not go into the promised land. You know why they didn't get to go in the promised land the first time? Because they forgot. They forgot that God is greater. In Numbers 13:31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. But wait a minute, God didn't tell them to go up, that they were the ones going to have to do it. God said, I'm going to do it for you. They forgot. They forgot that God is greater. And that's what happens to so many Christians. We get discouraged, we quit, we get downhearted, we quit, we get disenchanted, and we quit. And the reason why we do that is because we have forgotten that God is greater than anything in your life today, than anything in my life today. God is greater. Do you know why Sarah gave birth to a child at 90? Because God is greater than our physical limitations. Do you know why manna from heaven was found just sitting on the ground when they woke up each morning in the wilderness for 40 years? Because God is greater than our daily needs. Do you know why the bitter waters of Marah were made sweet simply by throwing a tree into that water? Because he wants us to remember that God is greater than our bitterness and our unforgiveness and the difficulties in our life. Do you know why the sun stood still for about a day, the Bible says, so Israel could keep fighting and win the battle with the Amorites in the valley of Ajalon? Because he wants us to know that God is greater than our battles and the struggles in our life. Do you know why the walls of Jericho just came a tumbling down? No dynamite, no demolition crews, no battering rams, no bulldozers or cranes, just God. And God is greater than the seemingly impossibilities in our life. I'm glad I serve a greater God today. God is greater than man. God is greater than the witness of man. God is greater than our heart today and every day. That is what the celebration today is all about. Man, brother, Pastor Myers, man, wonderful message. Just a wonderful message, reminder of what Easter is all about. Man, I was sitting there and my right leg was jumping up and down. You say, why? Well, this isn't my church, obviously, but I wanted to get up and preach. To me, the most exciting Sunday to preach in the morning is the Sunday of Easter. We get to preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is the resurrection all about? It is God's way of saying that he is greater than man. When men die, they stay dead. But when Jesus died, he rose again on the third day. God is greater than man. Oh my. And then, boy, you brought up something. I thought about it. I said, man, that'll go with my message. He talked about the men on the road of Emmaus. And Jesus, you know, he told the story. They met up with Jesus on the road of Emmaus, right? And they were discouraged, right? And he said, what are you guys all sad about? Well, haven't you heard? I mean, Jesus, he said he was going to come. He said he was going to build a kingdom. He said he was going to do this. And he died, and they took him, and he killed him. And they were so discouraged. And then what did it say later after he came and he broke bread? And he just disappeared. It's like, wow. They said, they began to think about it. Because as they were walking, he began going back into the Old Testament and showing them all the different verses about the resurrection. And did you hear what he said? He said, did not our what? Heart burn within us as he gave to us the scriptures? Somebody say amen. You know what happened? By giving them the Old Testament scriptures, they found out, they forgot that God is greater. And then they were reminded that God was greater. And you know what? They were happy again. You know why? Because God's greater than your heart. Amen. Oh, you don't have to sit like you've been weaned on a dill pickle. Amen. You don't have to live your life with a poochy lip disease. You know what you need to do? You need a good dose that God is greater. You need to remind yourself every morning as you get up in the morning, get your Bible out, look up into heaven, and then you look at the problems you're going to face, and then you take every one of them, and you say, God, you're greater than this, and you're greater than this, and you're greater than this, and you're greater than this. God is greater. I'm not telling you stories tonight. These are not myths. These are not fables. This is the truth of God's word. God is greater. God is greater. What is it today? What is it? What is it that has broken your heart? What is it today that floods your soul with worrying cares? What is it today that is discouraging you? What is it today that is robbing you of your joy and of your peace, of your love and of your faith? You know what you ought to do? Shout it. Shout it out. I got to thinking about that. Isn't it that stuff where you shout it out, you get stains, right? And you put it in your clothes. What are you doing? You shout it out. I'm not talking about getting outside. I'm talking go into your bedroom, your bathroom. Go out to the beach and just shout out, God is greater. It'll do you some good. Some of you look like you need that. Wouldn't that be wonderful if somebody said, there was a bunch of people on the beach tonight shouting, oh, God is greater. And that would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Oh, my. I'm glad tonight. God's greater. And God's desire is when those things happen, when problems and heartaches come into your life, remember that he's greater. Turn over to Isaiah 40, would you? It's 6:02. So that means I can preach for another hour? You laugh. I could do it. Just so you know, we haven't got to the points yet, but points are sharp. Isaiah is a neat book. Turn over there, would you? Isaiah chapter 40. It's a neat book because it's a mini Bible. It has 66 books in it. And just like the Old Testament, the first 39 talk about the judgment of God, talk about what's going to happen. And so the first 39 are like the Old Testament. And then starting in chapter number 40 and to the end, which are 27, by the way, 27 books in the New Testament, right? 39 books in the Old Testament, right? So Isaiah is divided up just like the Bible. So we find in Isaiah chapter 40, from Isaiah 40 and on, some of the most encouraging verses you'll ever find in your life in the Word of God. And in Isaiah chapter 40, God is wanting to encourage. He's told him a lot of negative things. He's told them about judgment. He's told them what's going to happen. He's told them what's going to happen to them if they don't obey him and love him. And so now, as we always should do, sometimes we have to preach judgment. We have to talk about the consequences of sin. We have to do that. But we also need to, somewhere shortly after that, we need to talk about that God wants to help us. And God wants us to be encouraged and strengthened. And so in Isaiah 40, one of the best chapters in the book of Isaiah, he uses the contrast of man, of the stupidity of man, and the sinfulness of man. But then he talks about the greatness of God. And look at it. Look at verse number 6. He says, the voice said, cry, voice of God. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Look, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings. Get thee up into the high mount, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say, listen to this. Say unto the cities of Judah, look at the next three words. Everybody say it with me. Behold your God. Say it one more time. Behold your God. What do you think it is that they're supposed to say to behold in their God? You know, the greatness of God. They said, look at the greatness of God. Behold the greatness of God, how God is greater. Then look at verse 12. He says, oh my, you all ready? You gonna say amen? Because if you don't start saying amen more, I'm just gonna preach longer. Look what it says. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Now think about it. The waters on this earth, he could put it in the little crevice in your hand. This little bitty crevice. Then look what he says. And meted or measured our heaven with the span. You know what a span is? Take your hand like that from that pinky to my thumb. That is a span. He is, you know how big our universe is? From here to what they think is the end of the universe is 43 billion light years. Amen? That means it spans 93 million light years. God says, my great, says I measure it with my hand, a span. Amen? Oh my, now it's not done. And comprehended the dust or the sand of the earth and measure. God knows how many little pieces of sand are on this entire earth. God says, I know exactly the number of little pebbles of sand that are on the. By the way, the Bible says he even knows how many hairs are on our head or used to be on our head. Amen? Look what it says. And weighed the mountains and scales and the hills in a balance. Who had directed the Spirit? Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor had taught him. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? You know, it's crazy. Why is it that we think we can run our life better than God can? Amen. God knows better. Why? Because God is greater. Why in the world do we want to run our life our way instead of God's way? God is greater. Behold, look at this. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Come on. You know what Russia is? Drop in the bucket. You know what Iran is? A drop in the bucket. You know what China is? Drop in the bucket. Go over to Psalms 2. I don't mean literally, but if you were to go over to Psalms 2, you know, the kings of the world say, we're in control, we're in charge. And the Bible says that God laughs. He laughs up there. Sure, yeah, right. No, hey, Putin is just a pawn, amen? China's just a pawn, amen? You know what? God is greater than Russia. God is greater than China. God is greater than Iran. God is greater. Look at verse 17. Oh, and all nations before him are as what? They're nothing. Nations of this world, nothing to God. And they accounted him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare in them? The workman melted a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and cast a silver chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh in them a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? You know what? He's getting perturbed. He said, what's wrong with you? Why in the world are you worshiping graven image? Why are you worshiping a motorcycle? Why are you worshiping a car? Why are you worshiping a house? He said, you've got a great God to worship. Look at verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are of his grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. Princes are politicians. He said he brings them to nothing. I think we worry too much about what's going on in this country. We ought to pray. That's what we need to do. Amen? We need to pray. Put in God's hands. And if you don't pray, you better not be complaining. But God is greater. Look what he says, that bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One, lift up your eye on high, and behold who hath created these things. Bringeth out their host by number, he calleth them by names, by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. What's he doing? He is pointing to his greatness. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we need to do. Fact is, we need to do it more than we ever have needed to do it. I believe these are the end times. I believe Jesus is coming back soon. And I believe it's more important than ever that we be a witness for the Lord, that we tell people how great he is, to lift up our eyes on high and see and remember that God is great. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Amen. God is greater. God is great. He goes on, verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord. In other words, they're saying, well, God doesn't know what I'm going through. God doesn't see what I'm going through. Nothing could be so wrong than to ever think that God doesn't know what's going on in your life. And then he goes on, and my judgment is passed over from my God. In other words, he hasn't given us thought. He's disregarded what's going on in my life. That's what they were saying. But God's not done. Look at verse number 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah is preaching to increase their faith and to point them to the fact that God is greater. That's Old Testament. But John did the same thing. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. He talks about in verse number 3. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 3. He says, the spirit of Antichrist in verse 3, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And even now already is it in the world. And he says in verse 4, but look, ye are of God, little children. He said, you're of God. You're of God. What God? The God that is greater than man. The God who has a witness that's greater than the witness of man. The God that is greater than our heart. What's causing your heart to despair? What's causing your heart to discourage? You're of God tonight. The God that is greater. That's your God tonight. You're his child tonight. But look, verse 4. You're of God, little children. I love it. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Look it, because what? What's the next word? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said it. He didn't say you're of God, little children, and will overcome them. He says you already have overcome them. It's already done. We enter into the victorious life every day. Enter into spirit-filled life every day. Walk in the spirit every day. And guess what? You are going to be able to overcome this whole world. Why? Because God is greater. God is greater. Now, what happens to people that believe that God is greater? Three things, real quick here. Number one, it'll cause us to act in faith. It'll cause us to act in faith. People who believe God is greater use their faith. Amen? They use their faith. Somebody has said, faith without works is what? Dead. Faith works. Faith works. It shows itself by, faith is not just, I believe, I believe, I believe. Faith shows it believes by working and serving and witnessing and doing a job for the Lord, getting something accomplished for God. That's what Caleb did. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, and Caleb still the people. Remember, Caleb and Joshua and 10 spies went to go into the land of Canaan, and they came back, and the 10 men said, we can't do this, and discouraged everybody else. But Caleb and Joshua said, God is greater. God is greater. He said, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, don't you think for a minute, Caleb is boasting and Caleb is saying, we can do this. Caleb was saying, we can do it because God's going to help us. In fact, Numbers 14:8, it says, he will bring us into the land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. John Powell said these words, God is to us like the sky to a small bird, which cannot see its outer limits and cannot reach its distant horizons, but can only lose itself in the greatness and immensity of the blueness. We need to lose ourselves in the greatness of God. We need to baptize ourselves into the greatness of God. The psalmist David in Psalm 42, verse 5, he was discouraged. He was disheartened, and he began to talk to him. Does anybody here ever talk to yourself? I do it all the time. You dummy. You idiot. Why'd you say that? Why'd you preach so long at that church? They'll never have you back. I do that. And you do it too, Brother Steve. You talk to yourself. I remember when those Bluetooth earphones first came out, you'd see people walking around talking, and I think, what's wrong with them? And it's, oh, they got those Bluetooth things in their ears. David was like that. David talked to himself all the time. All the time. He said in Psalm 42:5, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He's talking to himself. He said, "What's the matter with you, soul? You're all discouraged and disheartened. What's wrong with you?" And then he said, "And why art thou disquieted in me?" What does he say? He says, "Hope thou in God." He's talking to himself. "For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." What was he doing? He was hoping in the greatness of God. If you're discouraged, you go home today, go in the bathroom and look at yourself and say, "Why in the world are you discouraged? What's wrong with you, dummy?" Hey, hope in this great God that Brother Grandy preached about tonight. Put your hope in him. Don't let your heart condemn you. Hope thou in God. What will the greatness of God do? The greatness of God will cause you to act on your faith. I think of Jonathan, and I think of his armor bearer. I love the story. I wish I had time to read it to you. I love it. They're getting ready to fight the Philistines, Brother Stephen. And Jonathan's sitting there that night, and he's laying there. You can go back and read it later. And he's laying there. He's thinking, you know, I think God wants to give us the victory. And I think, in fact, God could do it with the whole army, or he could do it just with a few of us. And he began to write, God's great. God can use a few, or God can use a lot, but God is greater than these Philistines. So he's lying there. He couldn't sleep, and he woke up, and he thought, man. So he goes to his armor bearer. He said, "Listen, I've been thinking all night, and I'm thinking, you know what? I think God is so great. I think if we go out there, let's go out and fight those Philistines. Let's see what God will do." And so he did that. They went out there, and they found a garrison. And he said to his armor bearer, by the way, the armor bearer, this is a man of faith. He said, Jonathan, whatever's in your heart, you go do it. I'll follow you. And so he says, all right. And they see a garrison out there. And they're on what they call the tooth of one of the mountains there. And he said to his armor bearer, he said, all right, listen, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to yell at them. If they say to us, come on over here, God gave them to us. But if they say, we're going to come to you, God didn't give them to us, and we're running. So they get up on the stone, and he yells out, hey, we're Israelites. And they yelled out, come on over. Jonathan looked at his armor bearer. I always wonder what the armor bearer thought. Uh-oh. And they said, God gave them to us. And the Bible says that Jonathan and his armor bearer went over there. And here's what happened. Jonathan went out there. He'd smote him. And then the armor bearer would come with the spear and finish him off. Ja! Oh, ja! And 20 of the Philistines were killed. And by the way, the rest of the Philistines heard about it, and they got scared. You know why? Because Jonathan believed God was greater than the Philistines. Ladies and gentlemen, if you really believe God is greater, whatever God is telling you to do, be a Sunday school teacher, be a missionary, be a preacher, start a church. I don't know what God wants you to do. And you're still kind of hanging back there and thinking, boy, I don't know if I can do it. You can't do it, my friend, but God can do it. So if you believe God is greater, then give it to God, and he'll use you to do it. I'm glad I serve a great God tonight. Number two, it'll cause us to be comforted. It'll cause us to be comforted. In Isaiah 40, verse number 1, here's how he starts out that wonderful chapter of reminding us that God is greater. Here's what it says. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. If you need comfort tonight, go home, get your Bible, and read about the greatness of God. You know, Brother Pastor Myers mentioned it this morning. That's why you need to be in your Bible every single day. Because God every day will bear witness in your heart, because the witness of God is greater than the witness of man, because God is greater than your heart, that God will bear witness in your heart. He's still alive. And God is greater. I think about 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 8. The king of Syria wants to attack the Israelites. And so he comes up with a plan. And so they have this plan. But the problem is when they get there, Israel's already ready for them. And beats them. It happens again. They have this plan. They go and they're going to fight the Israelites, but the Israelites are all ready to go and they beat them again. He says, how in the world did they know our plans? How did they know it? Do I have a spy in the midst of us? Finally, one guy says, oh, no, sir. It's Elijah. Elijah knows the plans. And Elijah's telling the Israelites what we're going to do before we even do it. And so the king decides, well, where is he? And they said, well, he's over in this town. And so they send the entire Syrian army to the town. And they surround the town. And so Elisha and his servants wakes up, and let me read it to you, 2 Kings 6:14. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about, that when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto them, alas, my master, what shall we do? When Elisha looked out there, he wasn't threatened, wasn't concerned one bit. But the servant was scared to death. He said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, then it goes on. 2 Kings 6:16, and he answered, fear not. Listen. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I can see the servant saying, you feeling all right this morning, Elijah? Oh, no. There's a lot more of us than there is of them. And so it goes on. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. By the way, after that, do you think he was concerned or was comforted? He was comforted. You know why? Because God opened his eyes to his greatness. You know what we need to be praying? God, open my eyes to your greatness. Lord, help me to see how great you are. Lord, remind me every day how great you are. Listen, greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world. And the clearer our eyes get on the greatness of God, the more comforted and encouraged and full of faith we will become as children of God. And I close number three. It will cause us to glory in God instead of despairing in our troubles. It'll cause us to glory in God. That's what we did today, didn't we? We gloried in God because we serve a risen Savior. We gloried in that. We need to do that every day. Not just on Easter Sunday, every single day. Glorying. Don't despair. Don't despair. Don't worry. God's in control. And God is greater. Turn to Psalm 77. We're just about done. Again, so many of the psalms. David, I believe, is the writer, and he's talking about the day of trouble. And we all have our days of trouble, don't we? We sure do. We sure do. Look at Psalm 77 and verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. So all day long, he's distressed. But praise the Lord, the distress did what it's supposed to do in everybody's life. It drove him to God so that when the night came, he continued to still seek the Lord. You know, we give up in praying. We give up in seeking God. We should never give up on seeking God, ever. It is obvious he is struggling, but he talks his way through it. He keeps talking to God. He keeps talking his way through it. And boy, you need to do that. Go somewhere. Just keep talking to God and talking to yourself. And God is greater. God is mighty. God is powerful. And he said, he talks to the Lord and talks to himself by reminding himself that God is greater. Look at verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary, in the church. That's why going to church is so important. Your pastor is going to constantly be reminding you how great your God is. And you need to be reminded of that all the time. Who is so great a God as our God? And the answer is nobody. Nobody. It's like that song we used to sing on the bus route. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Nothing. Oh my, I'm done. I'm not finished, but I'm done. Let me read you one little story. In 1715, King Louis XIV of France died after a reign of 72 years. He had called himself the Great and was the monarch who made the famous statement, "I am the state." His court was the most magnificent in Europe, and his funeral was equally spectacular. As his body lay in state in a golden coffin, orders were given that the cathedral should be very dimly lit with only a special candle set above his coffin. To dramatize his greatness, at the memorial, thousands waited in hushed silence. Then Bishop Massillon began to speak, slowly reaching down. He snuffed out the candle and said, "Only God is great. Only God is great tonight." You know, there's some folks that need to come to the altar tonight, and whatever it is that's discouraging you, whatever it is that has caused your heart to be disheartened and doubt God, you need to come to this altar tonight and bring whatever it is that is discouraging you, causing you to think, "I'm going to quit, I'm going to give up." And then you say, "God, I'm giving it to you tonight because, God, you are greater. You are greater than this problem, than this trial, than this test, than this storm, than this tribulation. God, you are greater." Oh, what Christianity needs is a fresh new vision of the greatness of God. Of the greatness of God. God is greater. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In the beginning of this sermon, I talked about the fact that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Maybe there's someone here thinking you can work your way to heaven, and you never will, because God has ordained that it not be of works, but that it be of grace. And there may be somebody here today that needs to avail of the grace of God and salvation. The Bible says, "For it's by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." So I wonder, is there anybody here tonight that would say, "Pastor Grandy, I am not saved. I know that if I died today, I would not go to heaven. I know it, but I want to know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I want to know that tonight. I want to be saved." Would you pray for me? Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand up, please? Is there anybody like that in the service tonight? "I want to know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know that, but I want to know that today. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Then I wonder, there's some Christians here today that said, "Pastor Green, I needed that message, and I'd forgotten by the way I'm worrying and fretting and despairing, wringing my hands, and I'm just stressed out. I forgot, but you reminded me. God is great. I needed that tonight, Pastor Grant. I needed it." Would you lift your hand up good and high? Say, "Pastor Grandy, pray for me. Include me in your closing prayer." Hands all over the place. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. You can lower your hand. Let's all stand together, please. Father, I needed this. I just needed to preach it for me. But I'm glad that I could be a help to some people tonight. That's why I came. That's why I'm so happy to do this. I love doing this. I pray, Lord, that they would come this evening, kneel at this altar, and say to you, "God, I know you're greater than this and this and this, and I'm trusting you. I'm encouraged tonight. I'm comforting myself by reminding myself of your greatness, and I am not going to despair, but I'm going to glory in you." Help them to do that tonight, and help them to do it every day from henceforth. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Invitation is open. You come on down the altar. Already folks here, kneel at this altar. Remind yourself. And by the way, remind your God. "God, I believe that you are greater." Oh, I'll do it later. Don't you do that. Hey, God's working in your heart right now. You won't do it later. I promise you, you won't do it later. The Spirit of God's working right now in your heart. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench it. Don't grieve it. Listen to it. Come down. Start this thing of having a vision of the greatness of God. Oh, God, give us a fresh new vision of His greatness and give it to us every day. There's more, hey, there's more of us than there is of them. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So, I go on and on. So many wonderful. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because they believe in the greatness of God. Because their eyes are not on their problems, not on people. Their eyes are on God. That's where our eyes need to always be. They need to always be on Him. Because He's greater.